Whiter than snow, whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow, whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow.
All right, well, let's go to our declaration this morning. I changed it up on you last week, but I kept it the same this week. Let's hold up our Bibles and say this together. This is my Bible. I am who God says I am. I can do what He says I can do. Therefore, each day, I value truth. I value serving others. I value abiding in Jesus. And I value covenant relationships. Amen. Well, we're going to continue our series this morning on integrity matters as the Lord is developing us in being one person. What a testimony for your children. What a testimony for your spouse to always be able to say, well, you know, yes, this, yes, that, but what you see is what you get. He is always the same person. You're not going to get, he's not going to be one way to you one day and another way, some other day. And in Matthew 23, let's go there. This is the Passion Translation. Matthew 23, verse 25 through 28. Can I get a witness? Jesus, yes, loving, yes, kind, but at times he was stern. He would speak the truth in love. Amen. And so the next series we're going to do after this series ends in next week, the next series is the politically incorrect Jesus. And we're going to look, because he's not always, you know, the soft, tender, I mean, he would tell people the truth. And I'm telling you, we live in a culture today filled with lies, filled with propaganda and deception. I'm telling you the truth. And so we need the truth. And so we're going to look at the life and the words of Jesus, and that he wasn't always what Americans would consider politically correct. This is probably one of those instances. Here we go. Great sorrow. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. Great sorrow awaits you, religious scholars and Pharisees, frauds and imposters. The Greek word is hypocrite. We Americans would say hypocrite. But a hypocrite in Greek acting lessons is one who wears a mask. So he puts on a mask, he acts the part, and then he's got to run off stage, grab a different mask, and act the next part, and then he'll run off stage. He might have 10 different masks and parts that he's playing, but he's not authentic. He's a pretender. He's a faker. He's not really who he portrays himself to be. And so he said, you're like one who will only wipe clean the outside of a cup or bowl, leaving the inside filthy. So remember, integrity is one. It's wholeness. It's my outside is one with my inside. Jesus is saying, you have no integrity because who you portray yourself to be outwardly does not match what's really going on in your heart. Amen, somebody. And Jesus cares, and the Father cares, and the Holy Spirit cares more about your heart and your motive than what you're doing outwardly. Amen. Amen. The flesh will always look to deeds. The flesh will always, religion will look to works. The Spirit of God looks on a man's heart. Amen. You're foolish to ignore the greed and self-indulgence that live like germs within you. Politically incorrect. You are blind and deaf to your evil. Shouldn't the one who cleans the outside also be concerned with cleaning the inside? You need to have more than clean dishes. You need to have clean hearts. Woo! Great sorrow awaits you, frauds and imposters. You're nothing more than tombs painted with fresh coats of white paint. Tombs that look shining and beautiful on the outside, but within are found decaying corpses full of nothing but corruption. Outwardly, you masquerade, there it is, as righteous people. But inside, your hearts are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Well, there you go. His whole point is they're divided people. God's will for you and I is not that we're divided people. but that we're one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, He is one. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And wouldn't it be great if the face that we're wearing right now today in Christ, in this moment, in praise and worship, singing Abba, we belong to you. Wouldn't that be great if that is our only face? And that we walk by the Spirit at all times. And that we're not different at work than how our face is at church. Amen. Remember that billboard on I-35 several years ago? Christians, please inform your faces. That's what it said. So if we only own one mask, if we only have one face, we are people of integrity. Amen? Amen. And you know, we need to major on this. And it's okay to have joy as a Christian. The kingdom of God, write this down. Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not religious observations of things. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy and in the Holy Spirit. And the Lord told me this week, He said, Steve, you all celebrate righteousness, and rightfully so. We're made righteous through Christ. Do we teach righteousness here, Cindy? I mean, if we talked about righteousness through Christ, not through works. I mean, yeah, many, many years has been a foundation of Grace Church. And then how about peace? He said, you celebrate peace, and rightfully so. We're at peace with God, therefore we're at peace with ourselves. Now we're at peace with each other, and we're at peace with others. So we love peace. And he said, but what about joy? You ought to spend a third of your time on joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy in the Holy Spirit, because righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. He said, you want to know why people look at the church, the body of Christ in America, and they don't see us as strong, but see us as weak? Because there's a lack of joy in the body of Christ. There's a lack of joy in the body of Christ, and the joy of the Lord is your... So if we're weak, if we're not strong, if we're not living out the life well, maybe we need another dose of the Holy Ghost and joy. Amen. I lose joy in this house. We have righteousness. We have peace. Why not joy in the Holy Spirit? Well, what I don't understand when you chuckle sometimes. I don't understand either, but I like it. And I sure don't feel weak in it. Well, we don't do that. We don't laugh like that at our church. I was growing up, we never laughed in church. Well, it's because the dead don't laugh. When's that politically incorrect series begin? Because that was politically incorrect. Come on, raise your hands with me. Father, I loose joy. I loose joy. The body of Christ needs joy. And Lord, that we inform our faces. If the glory of the old covenant was so great, Moses had to veil his face. How much more the joy of the Holy Ghost that lives and exists in the believer in the new covenant. I loose joy. Joy is our strength. In your presence is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Toilets or no toilets, we got joy. Unspeakable and full of glory. Amen, somebody. Is joy in the Bible? Is joy a fruit of the Spirit? Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1:8. 1 Peter 1:8. Whom having not seen, talking about Christ, the revelation of Christ, whom having not seen physically, you love Him. Though you do not see Him physically, yet you believe. Can I get a witness? And you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Yeah, there's a good song about that. Full of glory. You know, joy has an expression. Joy has an expression, even in the natural. I can't walk up to Brother Robert and say, well, brother, he says, how are you doing? I said, well, I'm full of joy today. Even in the natural, joy has an expression. Amen. How much more is this supernatural joy, which is a fruit of the Spirit, a byproduct of the Spirit? Even in the book of Acts, they were filled with the Spirit and supernatural joy. Apparently, this joy is unspeakable. I mean, you can't even describe it with your words, but it does have an expression. I believe singing. I believe dancing. I believe laughter are expressions of joy. Amen. Psalm 126, which I shared just a moment ago, we were like those who dream, and we came back and our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues were filled with singing. That's what I'm saying. Where's the laughter and the joy in the body of Christ? I think the Lord wants us to spend a third of our time on joy. Amen. I mean, why not? Dancing, singing, laughter, they're all demonstrations. How many of you know when the prodigal came home? Yeah. Guess who heard it? Guess who heard it? He could hear it. The older brother. He heard it. He heard the sound of joy over the father and everybody rejoicing that the son had come home, because joy has an expression. And we're always at church. It's like, nah, you know, don't do that. Man, if you don't like joy, you won't like heaven. You got to prepare yourself. You think there's joy in heaven? Baptists are high-fiving Pentecostals right now. I mean, there's joy. They're like, thank God we made it. I thought you were wrong. Well, I thought you were wrong, but here we are. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Older brother, he wouldn't even go in. He'd been out working for his father, and the Bible says, but he heard it. He heard it. He heard it. This is not my message today. It's not. It's just the Lord talking to me this week and saying, what about joy in the church? What about laughter? It does good. Like, you think the body of Christ could use some wellness in America? We need joy and laughter like medicine. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. Paul wrote to Thessalonica, he said, rejoice, and then what? And again? And again I say, rejoice. Where's the joy of the Lord? It's our strength. If we lack strength day to day, well, let's get filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that exhortation on joy. All right. Let's review. Integrity matters because who you're becoming is more important than what you do. Okay, and then number two, it matters because integrity gives value to your words. How many of you know your attitude and actions matter? Number three, because it protects your call and your purpose. We looked at this last week. Integrity will protect your role, your resources, and your reputation. Okay, your primary purpose is to know God. That doesn't change. Your secondary purpose is things that He calls and gifts you to do along the course of your life, which can change. But in our culture, so many say, well, what I do privately is my business. It's nobody else's business. Our actions can affect other people. Now we're not responsible for other people's actions, but our actions can affect others. We need to be mindful of that, especially when we carry such a precious message. You can be really gifted, you can be really anointed, you can be really talented, and you can really mess up your family and really mess up your life and your relationships. I would also add that too, that integrity protects your relationship as well, relationships plural, as well as reputation, resource, and role. All right, number four, we started on this one. We didn't get very far. Integrity matters because it ensures longevity and fruit that remains. Look at John 15:16. Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Everybody glad? Amen. Anybody ever think it was up to you to be chosen? You had to be good enough. I mean, I did, but He said, I chose you and I appointed you so that you go bear fruit and that your fruit would remain, that it would last. And that whatever you ask the Father, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will grant it for you. So your number one goal in integrity is light and salt on planet Earth, as you've informed your face to live as a Christian now, is to protect your integrity so your fruit will remain. Okay? Let's protect our longevity and long-lasting fruit through integrity. Now, what's the best way to protect integrity? I think sitting with Jesus. Yeah. I think being with Jesus is huge. Fall in love with Jesus every morning. I mean, start your day just madly in love with Jesus. Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ constrains us. It's the love of Christ that helps us walk in self-control and manifest it. You know, a lot of people ask for prayer for God's anointing. Brother Steve, I just want prayer for a greater anointing and power and, you know, strength upon me. But we need to ask ourselves, do we have the integrity to walk that out? I mean, if the power of God starts showing up in your life, I want to make sure you have integrity to walk that out. Rarely do people say, would you pray for me? I want to have integrity so I can have a lasting impact on my wife, on my children. I pray for me to have integrity, because if I walk in integrity, then my fruit will remain. I'll have a lasting impact on my wife and kids, my job, my church, my school. Amen, somebody. And how many pastors? They'll go to God all the time. Lord, I just need more faith. Give me more faith so I can have more people and more provision and we can do great things. You know what they ought to be praying? Lord, would you train me up in faithfulness? Because his view of you matters. And if we're faithful, he can entrust more people and more provision to us. Amen. So you can ask for more faith so you can have stuff, or you can say, Father, I want to grow in faithfulness so that you feel safe in your own heart to entrust us with more. Amen. Woo! Amen. If you're faithful in a little, faithful over much. So the tragedy of failure is what took 20 years to build could be gone in 20 seconds. That's the tragedy of failure. And integrity allows you to leave a healthy legacy and inheritance to your kids, to your grandkids, and so on. You know, one of the goals here at Grace Church is that we leave a legacy of peace and prosperity and health to the next generation. Amen? Not debt, not church splits, not ugliness. We really want to leave a legacy and demonstrate to the younger people how you walk this thing out together. Because when you have a church of this size, you've got all kinds of different personalities, different faith backgrounds. If we went through here, I think you might be shocked, maybe you wouldn't, but how many different backgrounds we have from different denominations who attend here. Amen? I even like the age range. We've got a wonderful variety of age difference within this church. So what we want to do is leave a legacy of prosperity and health and peace to the next generation, not church splits and not ugliness. All right, let's move to number 5. This is going to be fun. Integrity matters because it's who you are. You've been integrated. That's where we get the word integrity. You've been integrated. Do you know what that means? It means two things become one. Guess who you've been integrated with? Him. That's right. Dad. Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the Lord. You've been integrated. Everybody say, I've been integrated. Now say it like you mean it. I've been integrated. Yeah, that's better. Amen. So, we walk in integrity and we live in holiness because that's who we are. We're new creations. Amen. Look at this passage, Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as the elect of God, as holy and beloved people, put on tender mercy. Did you notice he didn't say, so you'll be? He didn't say, hey, so you'll be the elect of God and so you can be holy, so you can be loved of God. Would you do this? He didn't say that. He said, that's who you are. As the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercy, put on kindness, humility, meekness, long suffering, bear with each other. Look at this. Forgive each other. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must forgive. But above all these things, put on love together, which is your bond of perfection. Amen. I crush the spirit of murmuring and complaining. I crush the spirit of griping and backstabbing. I crush it in the name of Jesus. It does not belong in the church of Jesus Christ. It does not belong among the brethren. Amen. Come on, it's tempting, isn't it? It's tempting. You get hurt. You want to nurse that thing like a baby. Man, that was terrible. You should have never done that to me. And then you start rehearsing it over and over again in your mind. You're laying in bed staring at the ceiling. I can't believe it. Can't believe it. Just, you nurse it, you rehearse it, and then what's the temptation? Disperse it. Let me go share my offense with somebody else. Let me go change somebody else's view of that person. That's nasty. That's nasty. Murmuring, complaining, backstabbing, slander, gossip. Let's crush it. Amen? Amen. So don't miss this. You're already the elect of God. You're already holy and beloved. So you're putting these things on. You know, I don't like the statement that integrity is who you are when no one's looking. I don't like that statement. Integrity is living congruent with who you are at all times. That's integrity. Whether anyone's looking or not. When people are looking and when people aren't looking. Integrity is when you live congruent with who you really are as the elect of God. You might be alone and by yourself and not living congruent with who you are. Which may reveal not the truth about your quote integrity. It may reveal you've believed a lie about yourself and you don't see how righteous and elect you are. Amen. Amen. Human beings are the world's worst at thinking that our behavior determines the truth about us. Your behavior doesn't determine the truth about you. God determines the truth about you. Amen? And so you're the elect of God. You're holy. You're beloved. And the more you believe that, the more you'll manifest that in private. Integrity is walking congruent with the truth at all times. Look at 1 John chapter 2. This is a fantastic passage. Look at this. 1 John chapter 2 verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. Amen. And if anyone does sin, did he say when or did he say if? If you stumble, you have an advocate, literally a lawyer, with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I mean, talk about a superhero title. Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, which means the satisfaction of God's wrath against sin. And not for ours only, but for the whole world. Oh boy. That means he died for everybody. Not just the people you like. Not just the people. He died for the whole world. Amen. Look at verse 6. I'm skipping down. Verse 6 says, he who says he abides in Jesus ought himself also to walk like Jesus walked. Amen. Man, well, how, Brother Steve, how do we walk like Jesus walked? Well, it's sure not by acting like him. Okay, you're not going to fake it till you make it. Nobody can be like God without God. Amen. It's almost like the truest thing about you is, see, I was so proud. I meet with a group of guys on Monday night and they totally got this. They totally got it. That without the Spirit, the reason Jesus came was to put the Spirit of God back inside of us. Because without that Spirit, we can't be like God. So all the religion you can muster, all the self-effort you can muster, you cannot be like Jesus without the Spirit of Jesus in your heart. He is much better at being himself than you are. So you let him in, and then you yield. You let him out. Lord, would you live through me today? How about this? You know, Barbara at work. Sorry, Barb. Barbara, that was a random name. Barbara at work, man, she drives me crazy. Lord, I don't know what to do. I just want to run in and be mean to her. I just want to tell her everything she's ever done wrong to me. You can do that, or you can, which would throw gasoline on the fire. Do you really think getting rid of your enemies, being ugly to them is going to get rid of them? What's going to happen is you're going to have twins. And you thought you had a problem. Now you got twice the problem because instead of melting the ice with love, you shattered it with a hammer. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Amen. So instead of that, you can say, Lord, you died for her and you live in me. Would you manifest yourself in me towards Barbara today? That it be true about me that it's no longer I that live or work here, but it's Christ who lives and works here. Woo! See how easy it is? You yield, 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 yield lordship. The flesh will say, man, we're justified to be mean. We're justified. She touched God's anointed or whatever scripture you want to misinterpret. Everybody say yield. I want people to say about you, I pretty much work with Jesus. You know, there's this person in my office. I mean, there's so much peace that exudes out of them, righteousness, joy in the Holy Spirit. Such a joyous person. Do you guys know yet how the staff knows whether I'm in or not? Do you guys know how they know if I'm here?
You're singing.
Singing. Well, Brother Steve, how do you maintain joy? Well, here's how you do it. Because the world didn't give it to me, the world can't take it away.
Amen.
Who gave it to me? He did. He did. When I got him, I got joy. When I got him, I got joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Full of the glory of God. The character of his person.
Amen.
Lives in me. Amen. Happy dance. I want to bring back the happy song. Do you guys remember that? Delirious did a song, happy song. Jeremy, right now, I guarantee you, he's working on it. Either that or he's shaking his head. One of those two. One of those two. Okay, so Brother Steve, are we doing good?
Yeah.
All right. Brother Steve then, how then, if it's not faking it, if it's not acting like Jesus and being religious, but he actually died so that the Spirit of God could come in me again as it was in the garden, how do we walk like Jesus walked? Number one, get born again and filled with Jesus. This is profound. This is three steps to walk like Jesus, okay? Get born again, filled with Jesus. Get filled with the Spirit. How often? All the time. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Against such things, there is no law. There is no restraint. Don't restrict your joy.
Amen.
Don't restrict the love of Christ. Don't restrict peace. Amen? Don't constrain it. The law put a restraint on sin. But with the fruit of the Spirit, we don't need to restrain it. Let it go.
Amen.
All right, number two. Agree with who God says you are and what he says you have. Okay? So you get born again, you get filled with Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 2:12, has been given to you, moved inside of you to show you all the things that are freely yours in Jesus. They're already yours. You're not earning them. You're not earning them. If you want to come out of an earning mindset, thank him for what you have. Thank him. Thank him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that I'm loved. Thank you that I have joy. Thank you for peace that passes all understanding. It's all already mine. And then number three, go be you. Go be you as a new creation. Amen. Go be the true you. Is the true you how you feel? Or is the true you what God says about you as a new creation? So many Americans ask, you know, well, who are you? And, you know, what do you do? And all that stuff. And we'll say, well, I'm an accountant. I'm a mother of three. I'm a truck driver. I'm this. Yet what we do is not who we are. That's just stuff you do. That's not who you are. When they say, who are you? Yeah, you say, I'm a child of God. I'm a blood-bought, born-again, Christ-filled human being. Amen. That's who I am. Don't let those other things be in your identity box because you may not always be an accountant. If you're an accountant and you identify yourself as I'm an accountant instead of as a child of God who happens to account, then if you get fired, then who are you? Amen. So you're a child of God. That's who you are. You're in love with Jesus. Yeah. And then now I used to be an accountant. Once you're born again, you don't determine who you are. You discover who you are. So I'm asking you to begin to discover that you're the elect of God. You're holy and you're beloved. Why? Because the holy and elect beloved one moved inside of you and joined himself to you. That's what happened to you. Romans 5, 14 through 19, or 15 through 19. This is the Passion Translation. Let me read this to you. Romans chapter 5. Now, we read this a few times this year, but the Lord said read it again. So guess what I said? All right, I'll do it. Yes, Papa. What are we to do then? Should we? That's not even the right one. That's a good passage, but it's not the right one. Romans 5, verse 15. Now, there's no comparison between Adam's transgression and the gracious gift we experience. For the magnitude of the gift of Christ far outweighs the crime of Adam. Amen. We just dropped the mic right there. The gift of Christ far outweighs the crime of Adam. Remember, he threw the gold brick down on the judge's desk, said this should cover it. It's true that many died because of Adam's transgression, but how much greater will God's grace and his gracious gift of acceptance overflow to us because of what one man, Jesus Christ, has done for us? This free-flowing gift imparts to us much more than what was given to us through the one who sinned. For because of one transgression, that's Adam, we all were facing a death sentence with the verdict of guilty. But this gracious gift of Christ leaves us free from our many failures and brings us into perfect righteousness with God, acquitted with the words, not guilty. The more you believe this, the better your behavior will be. Religion wants to fix your behavior. God wants to address your belief and what you believe to be true. Amen? Verse 17, death once held us in its grip, and by the blunder of one man, death reigned over as king over humanity. But now, how much more are we held in the grip of God's grace, and now we get to continue reigning as kings in life. Can I get a witness? We were tapped to reign in Genesis chapter 1. That was our mandate. Jesus got it back. We enjoy now our regal freedom through the gift of perfect righteousness in the one and only Jesus, the Messiah. Perfect righteousness. Perfect righteousness is yours. In other words, just as condemnation came upon all people through Adam's transgression, so through one righteous act of Jesus' sacrifice, the perfect righteousness that makes us right with God and leads to a victorious life is now available to everyone. One man's disobedience opened the door for all humanity to become sinners, but also one man's obedience opened the door for many to be made perfectly right with God and now acceptable to Him. So, you're not in the Adams family anymore. Amen. You may want a picture of this. And please, I want you to take these scriptures down. I'm going to give you a bunch of scripture, okay? Please write them down because you need it with my graphic. Thanks to Brother Gavin for making the graphic. Are you ready for this? All right, on the left, you got the Adams family. That's what you were initially born into. And then when you got born again, you entered Christ, and Christ entered you. Amen. You entered into the reality of what I just read you in Romans 5. Okay? So in Adam, I am nothing. Galatians 6:3 is your passage. It says, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. In Adam and by yourself, you're nothing. But in Christ, you're a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. How about this? Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are God's children. Okay? In Adam, I'm nothing. In Christ, I'm God's child. Are you in Christ? Do you believe it? Amen. Secondly, in Adam, I know nothing. 1 Corinthians 8:2. If anyone thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing as he ought to know. 1 Corinthians 4:7. What makes you different? What do you have that you did not receive? Why would you boast as though you didn't receive it? 1 Corinthians 4:7. Apart from Christ, I know nothing. That's a stout verse. That's a stout verse. Stacy and I were in Napa Valley, California at a Grace conference a couple of years ago. And they had all the speakers come up for a panel, you know, Q&A. And one of the gentlemen, I think he meant well, maybe it didn't come out right, I don't know. But he said, we have this incredible message of grace. How do we stay humble? That's what he said. I said, what do we have that we did not receive? It's the grace of God that we even see this. We're blessed of God to even recognize that there's a difference between the new covenant and the old covenant in our relationship with Him. Apart from Adam, we don't know anything, guys. Come on. It's the truth. Now, in Christ, look at this, I know all things. 1 John 2:20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Your spirit man knows it. Amen? Have you ever wondered why when you're in church, like we are right now, and I'll share something, and then you're like, oh, yeah, amen, just hits like a atomic bomb? How did you know it was true? Your spirit man knew it before you came in. So when the Spirit of the Lord in me made connection with the Spirit of the Lord in you, you went, yeah. Why? Because you know all things. Where? In your spirit, not in your head. Woo! Come on, Holy Ghost. In Adam, I have nothing. Romans 7:18, for I know that in me, that is my flesh, nothing good dwells, for the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I can't find. Wow. But yet in Christ, I have everything. In Christ, I have everything. Romans 8:17, if we are children, then we are heirs. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together with Him. And then 2 Peter 1:3, His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. In Christ, you have everything. Flee the lie of lack. Flee the lie of lack that you don't have enough, you'll never be enough. Okay? A key to Christianity is that you got to start where Jesus finished. Don't add to, start where He finished. Never try to earn by behavior what's already yours freely in Christ. Never try to earn by behavior what's already yours in Christ. Amen. So in Christ, you have what? In Christ, you have everything. In Christ, you have everything. All right, and then in Adam, I can do nothing. 1 Corinthians 3:7. So then neither he who plants is anything, the one who waters, he's not anything, but God who gives the increase. Romans 12:3. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. And then, of course, we know in Christ, though, I can do all things through Christ. Philippians 4:13, who is my strength. And then 1 John 4:4, greater is he that's in me than he that's within the world. Amen? Is that good? Helpful. Helpful. All right. How much time do I got? All day. Amen. Let's talk about three laws of belief. Because that chart I just showed you, what's the key component? Belief. Jeremy, you got that song worked up? No? The key component is belief. If you're born again, you've been placed in Christ. So if Robert, the day he accepts Jesus Christ, did he become righteous on the inside? What if he has a bad day and he doesn't really believe, he starts doubting, he doesn't believe he's righteous? Is he still righteous even though he has doubts in his mind? So there's truth that exists beyond what Robert thinks about himself? Beyond what Robert feels about himself? Yeah, that's right. Thank God. Amen. Three laws of belief. Number one, you are what you believe. You are what you believe. As a man thinks in his heart, right? So is he. Look at this one. You are who you hang out with. What does that mean? Well, the environments you spend time in actually teach you and impart things to you and instill in you belief systems, values, and a culture. That's why if you spend all your time watching CNN or in social media and just listening to the world, I'm telling you, they're shaping your values. They are shaping your belief systems. Who you hang out with, typically birds of a feather flock together, okay? You are who you're hanging out with because they're imparting value and culture to you, shaping what you believe. And then number three, you live based on what you believe is true, even if it isn't true. And everybody said, it's true. Isn't that profound? You're going to live based on what you believe is true, even if it's not true. Your perspective is your reality, even if it's a lie. So that's why every week we're imparting what to you? Truth. Jesus said, if you know the truth will set you free and keep you free. If knowing the truth sets you free, what will put you in bondage? Believing a lie. Believing a lie. So let's go back to number two. Who you're hanging out with is pretty important then. Your source of truth about who you are, who God is, and how life is to be lived, and what we ought to be teaching our kids in school. Your source for that, very important. Very important. When you fail, acknowledge the things, your mistake. That's having integrity. If you slip up, I know you're righteous, but you can do something incongruent with it. Well, integrity fesses up. Doesn't mean you never stumble. It means you're honest if you do. Means you say, I'm not going to quit no matter what. I'm going to get up. I'm going to identify myself as a new creation in Christ. This will help you too. When you're being tempted, ask yourself this question. Will I enjoy remembering what I'm being tempted to do? Number two, will what I'm being tempted to do ruin my credibility as a messenger of Jesus? And then number three is, what I'm being tempted to do, does it line up with who Jesus says I am? Amen. Dedicate yourself to the truth that we're holy and righteous in and through Christ. Jeremy, you guys can come. This is important. You got to dedicate yourself to the truth. What is the truth? Man, anchor yourself to the truth. Remember the word on tether? Be tethered to the truth. There's a blizzard out there. A blizzard of information. A blizzard of distraction. A blizzard of technology. Tether yourself to the truth. And say, you know, I'm putting my foot down, Cindy. I'm holy and I'm righteous by Jesus Christ. That is who I am. And then, if life happens, well, Brother Steve, what if I lose my job? You are dedicated to the truth that you're righteous and holy. What if somebody on the road cusses me out? You are dedicated to the reality. You're righteous and you're holy in Christ. What if I'm behind on my rent? There's this woman, and she said if I would sleep with her, that she would help pay my rent. Are your values for sale? That's a simple question. Is your integrity for sale? Would you forfeit who you really are, that your commitment to the fact you're righteous and pure in Christ, and you would just give it away because you're worried about rent? Don't let fear dictate to you. We're never at our best in fear. Don't ever make decisions out of fear. Amen, amen, amen. We want to be dedicated and committed to the reality we've been integrated by Christ. We've been integrated. We are people of integrity. Amen. And you got to believe it. You got to believe every day, I'm a man of integrity. I'm a woman of integrity. I'll not forfeit that. They may ask you to cheat at work. They may say, can you just cook the books a little bit? I can't forfeit my values and my integrity for that. I'm so sorry. I can't do it. Maybe not even I'm sorry. I'll pray for you. Amen? And encourage them. There's no fulfillment in you doing that. The only reason you're trying to cheat is you're scared. Let me introduce you to the God of perfect love that removes all fear. Let's take the company to Him. Come on, amen? Real life solutions. We behave the way we do because of what we believe. Especially when we face trials. And guys, Americans, if you look around, we're not really equipped to handle adversity. I mean, every day on the news seems like we're reading about somebody snapped, somebody did this, somebody did that. We gotta, as Americans, we've got to raise our children to deal with adversity. Amen. Parents, we want to help you to coach up and strengthen your young people so that if somebody is mean to them at school, they don't lose it because all their identity is wrapped and values wrapped up in what somebody thinks about them at school. That we've got to do better. What we're trying to do, and we always do it in America, is that we just pass more laws. Nobody can be mean to anybody. Nobody can misstep. Nobody can have wrong speech. political correctness. Nobody say anything mean. How about we also raise up our children to deal with adversity? And that my happiness eggs aren't in that guy's mouth. My value is not established by somebody at school who said I was ugly. That doesn't mean anything to me. I'm a blood-bought, born-again, Christ-filled Christian. That's who I am. I am who God says I am. And you know what? You want to say those things about me? I'm not going to cry because of you. I'm crying for you because you need to know Jesus Christ. You need to know the value you have, because if you knew you had value, you wouldn't be ripping at mine, covering your own. Come on, somebody. Amen. Let's stand together. We want to help strengthen our young people. We want to help strengthen the next generation in belief and faith. The ugliness that's happening in the country, I don't know if it's going anywhere soon, but I want us equipped to deal with it. Amen? I want us to have strength and value and identity. And we're going to live based on what we believe to be true about ourselves. Integrity matters because that's who we are. This is who we are. Elect, holy, and beloved in Christ. Amen? Every head bowed this morning. If you're here this morning, you've never accepted Christ.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.